here at Morrow Bible Church, and I think everybody knows him, but he has been attending this church for a long time. I'm not sure how many years, probably over 30. So long-time member, and he is a retired laborer from GM. How many years at GM? 37 years at GM, and of course he also continues to farm, and I know he's still in the process of harvesting, so he's right in the middle of the harvest here, but we always, in our elder meetings, we always spend some time at the beginning just giving instruction, some instruction of one another, and I always appreciate those times hearing from each of the elders. And Mr. Ray is always handles the word well. And so I've asked him to continue on in Psalm 92 just to help us to prepare our hearts as we go into Thanksgiving and consider our God and all that he's done. And so, Mr. Ray, if you would come and give us the message tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. As we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, prior to that, we have the Armed Forces Day, and of course, my dad and my uncle's day was all in the service as well, and when Pastor Massey talked about dating his future wife in that 57 Chevy, I had one myself, but I couldn't drive it on the road. It wasn't quite fit, but I did have one. But and it brings back a lot of memories in them early days. I am going to be dealing with Psalm 92, verses 5 through 9. And I'll go through and read the verses first and then comment on them. And some of these verses are really are ones that I'll comment on, and it had to do with me when I was graduated from high school. There was a period of time there where, I'll comment later on that. But verse 5, it says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Number 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Verse 8, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. And 9, verse 9, for lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Let's have a word of prayer, please, if we start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, and we just thank you for the Scriptures, how we can apply it to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all the strength and health you've blessed us with this year, this season. We thank you for everyone here tonight, and may we, as we read the Scriptures, may we apply it to our lives so we can live better for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And a lot of my commentary is going to be from Matthew Henry. And I have his book here at home. And he's very down to earth on his commentaries. And at verse 5 here, it says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And I did look up a couple cross references, and Matthew Henry commented on verse 5, and he says, "We cannot comprehend greatness of God's work. Therefore, we must reverently and awfully wonder at them. The greatness of God's works shall lead us to consider the depth of His thoughts." And also in Psalm 40, verse 5, well, I guess I wanted to touch on Psalms 139:17. And Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them!" And I commented earlier about when I graduated from school. I had two goals: get my diploma and get me a job. And I did get both of them. So, but in that period of time, I had the service looking at me. I had it was about 4 to 5 years there. You couldn't really get a good job. The country as a whole was going through a lot of turmoil. In the late 60s, they had a lot of unrest, civil unrest, with people rioting, and I didn't get into too much of that because I wasn't here in the country. I graduated in 65 of June, 67 of June, I was drafted, and I was only 18 years old, and I was going to turn 19 while I was in the service. But the thing about here was this one verse about how precious also are the thoughts unto me. When I was drafted, the Vietnam War was extremely heavy during the last half of the 60s. And unfortunately, most of the draftees was going over there. And so I got out of basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma to become a cannoneer to learn to shoot howitzers 105s. But while I was there, they put us in a different battalion. And when we was getting ready to graduate, the commanding officers come down, and the way they was talking, they was just saying that you guys as a whole group are most fortunate because instead of going to Vietnam, you're going to Germany. The whole group, 150 guys. And everyone prior to that for I don't know how many years, so the Lord was watching over a lot of us in that battalion, and we went to Germany, and I was very thankful that I didn't have to go to Southeast Asia, where a lot of the conflict was going on. And when I got back home after the service, I had a couple uncles that they said they was praying for me and my other cousin that we wouldn't see the vicious fighting and stuff that that was going on. And so I was very thankful that I had a family member praying while I was in there. And the Lord was working through them to keep me out of harm's way. And I've been very thankful over the years for that reason, that because I could see God does wonderful things to compensate us as individuals whom we're not the least expecting, and I wasn't at that time either. But so that was very. I'm very thankful that that part happened for me. And then it says in verse 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And there again, Matthew Henry says on this in verse 6, we are admonished not to neglect the works of God by the character of those who do so. Those are fools who will not acquaint themselves with them nor give him the glory of them. It's also in verse 6, I had Psalms 94:8, and it was telling the people there, understand, you brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? And I thought to myself in my mind, in other words, when will you get it? When will you get past this and try to understand what the Lord has done for you over the years? And sometimes it takes a little bit longer for others to really understand what the Lord has done. Hopefully they can understand that before they don't have a choice to make. So, and then also in verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Verse 7 also, Matthew Henry says, one would think that it was certain evidence of God's favor, but it is quite otherwise. Prosperity fools shall slay them. You know, we as a country today have prospered greatly individually. The amount of wealth that people have now is really amazing. The amount of wealth they have is not going to prosper them any if they don't serve and recognize what the Lord has done for them. And also in verse 8, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. The Lord we serve, he is the ruler over all. Everything that we have or could have, might have, belongs to him through us. The reference I looked up it says here that in 83:18 that we may not know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all the earth. Jehovah in this instance is the self-existent one, the Lord God of the whole world, the whole universe. A lot of people have trouble believing on that, it's there if we need. We just have to ask the Lord to help us our faith to be stronger in that. And in verse 9. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And Matthew Henry also says here that these are daring individuals. They're enemies that fight against God, and they shall perish. For Matthew Henry also said, "For who ever hardened his heart against God and prospered?" And that was and in verse 68:1 it says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let them also that hate him flee before him." And there's the Lord. We need to recognize who the Lord is, what we're here for, and just believe on Him and what He's done for us. And as I was going through this short passage here, I wanted to. We don't have to sing this. I was just. This song came to my mind about we can't fathom the riches that the Lord has for us, and let's get the right one here. It's page 495. It's called Unsearchable Riches. And I'm going to read the four verses individually. And the first one says, "Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, wealth that can never be told. Riches exhaust us of mercy and grace, precious, more precious than gold." A lot of people can't comprehend that type of mercy and grace. They want the material things. They don't want the working of the Lord. In verse 2, it says, "Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who shall their greatness declare? Jewels whose luster our lives may adorn, pearls that the poorest may wear." So, the underprivileged might be the ones that's doing a whole lot better than the rich people are. In verse 3, "Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, freely how freely they flow, making the souls of the faithful and true happy wherever they go." And the Lord does put joy in your heart, especially when He has done something great for you, whatever it may be, keeping you out of harm's way, healing your sickness, making you a healthy person. And that's a very comforting thought. Verse 4, "Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like these to secure." And then the chorus on that says, "Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told, oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold." I just thought through the study and what I was doing here, that song just, I thought it was fitting for me for going through the study like this, and it blended in with a lot of things that me personally, that I could say the Lord has done for me. And I'm sure there's other people could say the same thing. But but the main thing is just we as a group of people, Christians, and some non-Christians too, they need to give the Lord thanks, giving thanks for the, and I personally, I'm more cautious of it nowadays. I try to give the Lord thanks every day because there may be some times when I'm on the road that I have to deal with more of the traffic than I'd like to, and I just I ask the Lord to help us through harvest and with the equipment, and I'm most gracious that He has done that for us, and I do give Him thanks every day for keeping me healthy and to be able to do the things that they need to do around home. Pastor, that's all I have.
Thank you. Well, maybe we ought to sing that hymn. Is that 495?
Yes.
Well, let's go over to 495. We'll sing that as we close here. Unsearchable Riches, number 495. Let's stand as we sing. 495. Thank you tonight for this scripture, this devotion that was shared with us. We thank you
for your greatness, for your thoughts, how precious they are towards us. And we thank you for these riches of your grace and your mercy that are bestowed on us. We pray that you would help us as we come into the Thanksgiving season to declare what you have done for us and who you are. And we thank you for this reminder of what was done in Mr. Ray's life and how you preserved him. And we thank you for this time we've had here together. We ask for your watching over us, for your protection as we go to our homes now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.